Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, June 5th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Steger is preaching. The sermon today is Daily Bread. The Old Testament reading is 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. The gospel lesson today is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33.
The gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 25 through 34. Jesus speaks and says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will God not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." Please join me in a word of prayer. Gracious and Holy Spirit, come close to us as we open the scriptures this morning. Help us to hear your voice and to understand your will. And then we pray, grant us the faith and courage to act and live as you teach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any worry warts in the house? Or if you aren't the worrier, do you have a family member or friend who does the worrying for you? Right? Maybe that person is that person you know who is so creative and well-educated about all the possible things that could go wrong. That person who is that fabulous overthinker and can make contingency plans for multiple what-ifs and then the what-ifs that happen after those what-ifs happen. The person who lies abed at night and worries that what he or she said or didn't say in the meeting or in conversations that day. Perhaps you know a parent who is worried about their children, whether they're just in utero, in school, or they're a full-grown adult with kids of their own. Or do you have a friend who feels an acute little ache, starts using Google to self-diagnose, and has become convinced that they have a rare, incurable condition? Worrying can be helpful when it helps us to take action and to solve a problem. But then there are the times that worry starts to build and we find ourselves in a cloud of distorted thinking and possibly even distorted reality. Because when worry gets in the way, situations can look black and white with no middle ground. Worry can let one small wrong error feel like total failure. Worry can cause us to overgeneralize, where one negative experience leads us to believe that therefore the future will just get more and more dismal. Worry can invite us to jump to conclusions, but notice jumping to the negative conclusions, that the most negative outcome will happen without having a lot of evidence for that. And of course, everything can automatically feel like a catastrophe. I worry. I'm guessing from your laughter that you worry. We worry. We have struggles and problems that we face. It's a human emotion. And the story of the widow and Elijah from the book of 1 Kings that Pastor Ron read this morning focuses on a woman who was facing some struggles and problems. In biblical times, a widow is among the poorest of the poor. There's no man in her life, neither a father or a husband, whose role is to provide for her and to protect her. Very likely, she is dependent upon the charity of others to get by. In addition, the widow of Zarephath is a single mother, caring not just for herself, but her son as well. And the entire land is in a deep drought and famine, and food is scarce. So likely, when a man arrives at the gates of the city, her first impulse would be to ask him for some assistance, a little money, a little food. Instead, what she encounters is a foreigner, a refugee from another town where there is no food, who asks her for a drink of water. And then this man has the audacity to ask her, a widow, for a crust of bread? Imagine her outrage and indignation. And whether she yelled it or clenched her teeth and feigned politeness, she responded, "As your Lord lives, I have nothing. I have nothing baked. I have a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home, prepare it for myself and my son. We're going to eat it and then die." Now, we don't know, and we can't tell, if the woman was telling the complete truth about what food she had in the house. It is possible that she was lying to the stranger in order to protect what she had for her and her own. But I also wonder if she is consumed by her worry and her fears. She doesn't know where tomorrow's bread will come from, and she responds with the catastrophe that she foresees. Not having bread today means that we're going to starve and die. And in the midst of her cloud of worry, and as she turns away from him, Elijah calls out, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and do as you've said, but first, make me a little cake." Okay, now he's asking for more than the crust he just asked for. But, you know, "Make me a little cake. Bring it to me. Afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Imagine the widow had a variety of thoughts and responses to Elijah's statement. She's thinking, "I really don't have much." But also, she's noticing that Elijah didn't have anything. He doesn't have a place to sleep that night. He doesn't even have a vessel or a cup in which he could hold water. So he has no access of fresh water to drink. At least she herself wasn't thirsty. And she had companionship. At least she had her son. She figured she could offer a stranger a cup of cold water. And then she saw that she could feed him just a bit, even as she and her son were facing an uncertain future, and she didn't feel that she had enough flour and oil for today. But in that, or she did feel she had enough flour and oil for today. In that exact moment, maybe, just maybe, there was enough. And then there's the matter of this promise. This man talking of this God of Israel, and a little bit of hope bloomed in her heart. Maybe tomorrow would be better than today. We don't get to hear her thought process, or even how long she thought and mulled on this. But what we do hear in the text is what her actions were. And her actions speak louder than any words or thoughts. For she went and did as the prophet Elijah had asked. And then indeed, the God of Israel, Yahweh, provided enough for all three of them to eat on that day. And when tomorrow came, there was enough flour and oil to eat on that day as well, and for many days to come. God provides day by day. We're reminded of that in what Jesus speaks on the Sermon on the Mount from that passage from the Gospel of Matthew. It's a passage and verse that I memorized as my own version of the high school worry wart, concerned about every upcoming test, concerned about my appearance, concerned about my parents' approval. And it felt like Jesus knew me and knew my heart and would say over and over, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Let today's own trouble be sufficient for today." For yes, there is trouble in today. But we don't need to worry and borrow the troubles from the future. And Jesus is reminding me, because I'm preaching to myself here, to look and notice what God is already providing in this day. The flowers are decked in rich colors. The birds have enough to eat. And I can remember I have enough clothes in my closet, a car that runs. And how many of us here lacked for breakfast or are worried about whether we'll have a roof over our heads tonight? And we made it here this morning, awake and in our right minds. We are indeed blessed. And more than us as individuals, I see that God is blessing the community, and especially this congregation of Christ in this place. For even how, as I have heard from the PNC, that this church isn't what it used to be. I've heard some worried voices. I've also heard in conversations yesterday and with the PNC, and even in worship this morning, that there are faithful people of giftedness and good humor. There's committed leadership. There's a love of young people and a desire to teach them and nurture them in the way of Jesus. And there's a deep love of Christ. And I believe that we, as individuals and as a group, have a choice like that widow chose. That when these worries arise, do we share and continue to give to the stranger on our doorstep, trusting in the blessings rather than trusting in the worry? For God is the one who provides and will provide day by day. Our job is to be faithful in this day. And the God who has provided, we can see it here this morning in the sacrament of communion. For this morning, we'll be able to taste and see the greatest gift of all, the gift of Christ, the Lord and Savior who has been given for us and given for all. We're invited to receive our own little morsel of bread, But then also know that there is always enough to share, that the source of these blessings is our unending, amazing, great and gracious and loving God. One of the great hymns of the church is the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And so I invite us now as the people of God to affirm our faith, to trust in the God who provides, to be able to avow that there is strength for today, there is bright hope for tomorrow, there are blessings, ours and 10,000 beside. Let us rise as you are comfortable and affirm our faith together.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.